All right. You're just listening to Images of London by In Surge, which is a cover of Kev Komodi song. Now, we are very happy to have David Ball, who's on the line right now, who is the Deputy Secretary of the Maritime Union of Australia. He's also a presenter at the 3CR program MUA Fire Up, and he's joining us to discuss the 25th anniversary of the Patrick's dispute. So good morning, David. Maybe just to start off, can you give us a bit of... can you just say a few things quickly? You were kind of cracking up a bit there.
Oh, okay. I'll just try and move a bit.
Yep.
How's that?
That's much better. So thanks for that, David. Now, to kind of start off, can you just give us a bit of an overview, especially for our listeners who might not know much about the Patrick's dispute, and I guess a bit of a background on the significance of the Patrick's dispute, which is a very kind of important which was a very important struggle in the Maritime Union of Australia's history.
It continues to be a great struggle. I guess the ports in the country are a gateway to the economy, so the right wing and the government have always wanted to have control of them, and fortunately the MUA have been managed to keep control of all the ports and the waterfront in Australia. That led to, people like the Farmers Association combining with the Howard government, with their right-wing ideology, trying to break down the union movement, the MUA, and change industrial relation laws in Australia. And I guess they figured the first starting place was on the waterfront with the MUA. And they there was quite a few disputes on the waterfront around that time. So they actually sent some, I think they were ex-army people to Dubai and trained them up in cranes over there. And I don't think they did a very good job because they caused a fair bit of damage when they did get back to Australia. But they brought them in overnight with dogs and chased our members out of the cranes and out of the straddles and out the gates. And that began 101 days of a picket line here in Melbourne and Sydney and Fremantle that led to the big 98 dispute.
Thanks, David. It's Chloe also here on the line. Could you tell listeners what the legacy for workers' rights is in terms of what was won in that dispute, in the Patrick's dispute?
Yeah, thanks, Chloe. It allowed the MUA to stay on the waterfront and workers to continue to be represented by unions. It also made the MUA stronger, and with all the community support we got there, it taught the community and the union movement and the working class that through solidarity, any dispute can be won, and that's how we won that dispute. It was with the assistance of all the other unions, all the community, and it was really the broader community with, some extraordinary events took place down that picket line, including, the Greek Orthodox Church had a mass down there, the Catholic Church had a mass down there, the Painters and Dockers played. I heard you talking about the Painters and Dockers before. So it was just a huge moment of solidarity in the community where the people stood up and they won. So it was a great outcome.
Okay. You kind of mentioned some of the kind of solidarity that the Patrick's dispute kind of brought kind of forth. And can you tell us a bit more about some of that solidarity you received from the broader community and the trade union movement during the Patrick's dispute?
So the local solidarity was really important, and there was that there's that famous footage of when the police officer arrived early in the morning and stood, made a line in front of the picket line, and around 7.50 that morning, about 2,000 CFMEU construction workers came down onto the site to help all the picket line people, and the coppers were very uncomfortable and looking over their shoulders, and in the end they ended up retreating. So that was a fantastic moment. There was also a lot of internationalism, and there's a great story about the Columbus, Canada, that was loaded by the scabs here in Melbourne, went all the way to America, and then the ILWU refused to unload it, and that ship was forced to come back to Australia. The cargo was taken off and reloaded by union labour. So there was massive international support and local support that all made it possible.
Thanks for that. Thanks for coming on the show. Did you have any final comments before we wrap up the interview, Dave?
I guess I'd just like to thank all the community and the union movement and our international comrades and brothers and sisters that helped the MUA win that dispute. Without solidarity, it probably wouldn't have happened, and it was just a fantastic outcome. We now have, I was down at Patrick's the other day, and there was 12 new members joining the workforce, and every one of those members joined the union. We have close to 100% union membership down there. Most people join that workplace as a permanent part-time worker, so casualisation's gone. We really enjoy having a really strong position on that waterfront and in that Patrick's worksite. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, David, for the interview. And I think, yeah, it's a very kind of expiring, a very expiring dispute. And just to give also a bit of a plug to, your program as well, just for our listeners, you should also check out, the MUA Fire Up program on, 3CR, where they also had another discussion, about the Patrick's dispute, for their latest program.
Thanks heaps, Jacob and Chloe, and thank you to your program for supporting us and Green Left Weekly, who had a fantastic event down in Geelong last week celebrating the 25th anniversary. Great solidarity. Thank you, comrades.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Thanks, Dave.